little seminar on the art and heart of prayer. Today I will speak about something that might at times occupy your mind. In psychological terms, this is called the divided soul. You want one thing, but you find yourself too weak to do it, and sometimes do the exact opposite. Like you wish to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, but you only make advancement in studying the news, or whatever. So we will deal with this and possible ways to overcome this split in our personality. Does this sit with you? Can you relate to this idea, the split soul? Yes. I think I would be a pure devotee if I wouldn't be a split soul. It's really something that deserves our full interest. So again, to arrive at our seminar, we will do again a kirtan. I always like to think like I will do it like I will sing a song I never sang before. It is the Maha Mantra with full absorption. I know this. Hare Krishna, Hare. Yes, it's like talking to Krishna, this melody. Again, let us apply what we have learned. We will sit straight for a moment. We will collect our mind. You can also do this. You can do this in many ways. For instance, by setting an intention, I will try to focus on the mantra. I will address Krishna. And then we will start. Now is still an opportunity. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirshesha Shunyavani.
Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear devotees, you are where your mind is. So therefore, we collect the mind, and the easiest form to do that is to bring the mind in the heart. It's very easy. You take your intelligence or whatever it is and that can address the mind and pull it into the heart and think from the heart. Please do now.
Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya, Gaura Nitai, Jaya, Gaura
Nitai,
Jaya Prabhu Parajaya, Prabhu Parajaya, Prabhu Parajila, Prabhu
Parajaya,
Gaura Prema Nandi Hari 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 Bo. So, Hare Krishna. I think the phenomena of the divided mind is something that appears in all spiritual traditions. That yes, we have this two sides in us. One that pulls us with a sweet longing towards Krishna. His voice becomes very loud often when we feel that the world cannot satisfy us. Maybe when a relationship gets broken or a near dear one dies and we are our reality collapses, so to say, or we have a bad accident or feel very exhausted from our various activities, then it seems to become louder, this inner voice, this voice of longing. Yet when it seems many times that when we are overwhelmed with material duties, with just many activities, dates to fulfill, this voice can become weaker and at times stamped out a little bit. Why are we so sometimes like this, sometimes like that? Yes, because when we are still in the material world, there are many forces pulling on our heart, and we will look at them a little bit more. I think a very good verse about the wretched or the divided heart comes from a Saint Augustine, a very famous saint, who has written an amazing book. It's called Confessions. One of my godbrothers, Ravindra Swaroopabhu, and also friends, likes to quote Augustinus. As a young man, he says, I was most wretched, and especially so at the threshold to adulthood. No, he was just, this is teenager or puberty and so on. I would turn to you and ask for chastity, saying, please bestow chastity and abstinence unto me, but not immediately. I feared you might instantly hear me and heal me from the evil passion, when I really preferred to quench it, to satisfy my passions, rather than extinguish them. So I see a lot of that in our movement. Devotees repeat the prayers, make me pure. They sing the songs, my only desire is to be in the bushes of in the forest of Vrindavan and behold you with these very eyes. That's the Tulsi prayer. We have these prayers, but if imagine Tulsi Devi would come and say, okay, let's go now. Oh, I have still some agendas to do. Once Krishna told the saint Narada Muni, it's so difficult to convince conditioned souls to go back to Godhead. Yes, said Narada Muni, because you asked them to do such a strong sadhana, chanting, surrendering. Said Krishna, that's not the reason. It's so difficult to convince them because they are divided souls. You should now go and find someone, and you can tell them you can go back to Godhead without any sadhana. Oh, said Narada Muni, that will be very simple. Yes, and he went to Gujarat. Oh, Gujarat is of high significance in our movement. To Gopal Patel. And he said, Patel, a Gujarat name is Patel Paka. Gopal, you can go back home, back to Krishna this very moment. Oh, really? Yes, just come along with you now. Yes. Gopal said, let me first, you know, my parents want me to marry. Let me marry. Okay, well, now you married. After 1 year, I think, said Gopal. So Narada Muni came after 1 year, and he said, Gopal, let's go. One son needs to be given to my wife. Okay, said Narada Muni, how long does this take? We don't know in these times, maybe after 2 years. Narada Muni came back after 2 years. Gopal, let's go now. Ah, Narada Muni, my son is born, but he needs to become a little older. It's a long story. It takes 5 days to tell it. Finally, Narada Muni comes one day again, and at the door he is received by the wife of Gopal, Patel. She's also Patel. And the wife says, Gopal, what kind of, not Gopal, Narada, what kind of sadhu are you? Each time you come, my husband is totally disturbed for at least 2 weeks. So at this moment, they hear in the house a terrible thud. And they run in, and there's Gopal dead on the floor, because when Narada Muni came, he had seen him approaching through the window. At that time, Gopal had hid under the roof. And when his wife talked like that to Narada Muni, he had actually fallen from his hiding place under the roof on the floor and broken his neck. Narada Muni was not someone to give up so easily. He came after 5 more years. There was a big dog lying before Gopal Patel's old house. He was sleeping. Narada Muni went to him. He took one ear, said, Gopal, can you hear me? Gopal. The dog looked and said, saw Narada Muni. Gopal, you can go now back to Godhead. You have become a dog due to your attachments to this house. See, it doesn't suit you well to follow this voice of attachment. This is what you have become. Woof, said Gopal. You sadhus don't understand anything. I have to guard this house now. It's my duty. I cannot leave it like this. Well, at that time, Narada Muni shook his head and understood. When Krishna said, it's not so easy to bring a person who is still attached, one side wants also spiritual life, to bring him back. It's not so easy. Rupa Goswami is describing these forces in us that seem to bind us to the material energy in a beautiful shloka that is quoted actually in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Madhya Lila. And he describes the the struggle that goes on in the conditioned soul between these two sides. Would you like to hear the words?
Yes.
Kamadinam katina katida palita dunideshas tesham jata mayina karuna natrapa no pashanti usrit yaitannatu atajatu pati sampratam latta buddhi tvam ayata sharanam abhayamam niyong shvat madasye. Here a devotee is exasperated. Exasperated means he's a little fed up with himself. He says, "Oh my Lord, when I come before you, I have to say that there is no limit to the unwanted orders of lusty desires. I don't want them, but they come up. Although I have rendered these desires so much service, they have not shown any mercy to me. I have not been ashamed to serve them, nor have I even desired to give them up. But, oh my Lord, oh head of the Yadu dynasty, something has changed recently." So in the first part of the verse, he describes these material desires that pull him on and on and on. I know in our audience there are devotees who sometimes drink alcohol. I know of a minimum of two devotees who are expert in various substances taking. We used to say drugs, now they're medicinal substances in the New Age language. I know that in this hall are devotees who are very interested to fulfill sexual desires of various forms, either directly or on the internet by watching. I know. I will not tell them their names, nor will I ask them to get up and show their face to us, but they are here. Mm-hmm. So this is, there comes a time when one is ashamed of this. And then there's a change. Oh my Lord, oh head of the Yadu dynasty. Recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened. And now I'm giving these desires up. Yes, I say, no, thank you. I don't want to serve you any longer. You are never satisfied with me. You are unkind masters. Due to transcendental intelligence, I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these desires. And I now come to you to surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me. This text was written in the 15th century. I would like to add something to this text, not to complete it or so, but to say, how will it be possible that this good resolutions, which we all do, we have New Year's resolutions, no? No. Or after doing the Kirtan, we say, now is the time, I understood it, I will go forward. My dear devotees, if you want to really give up what harms you, if you really want to become one and not a split personality, you need to, you most probably need to make a practice out of this verse. You might have to envision two things. How will your life be if you continue in the old way? And more important, how will your life be when you start a new way of living? But that's not enough. I'm quoting here our brilliant Maharaj, Keshava Maharaj, you need to then sit down and make a plan. Okay, I'm going to do this and that and this. Because these make, if you make a plan with spiritual things, these spiritual things, like for instance, I will meet devotees regularly, will display what is called in psychology a self-efficiency. They will work on their own on you. A plan you need, and then most probably for all of us, we need to have influences from outside that work on us. They say, I have heard a lecture by Jai Shetty, who knows all these things. If you want to come to a new level in your life, associate with those people who do already what you wish to do in the future. Nice point, no? That is very motivating. So yes, here we find the soul who comes to the Lord. I'm so exasperated. I have enough of myself, of my insincerity. I want to move now forward with strength and surrender myself to your fearless lotus feet. If you have this inclination, make a trance and make a vision of yourself, envision yourself how you would like to become. Be clear, where would you like to be? What would you like your friends to be? If you are Mataji, Matajis are interested in dresses. What is your dress? You know, maybe you don't like to wear black any longer so much, but more hopeful colors. You know, very, very precisely you have to think about it, and then it will work. There are many such prayers where a person calls out to Krishna for help, so that he becomes whole and is no longer pulled back by his lower self. A very famous one. Can I tell you another famous one? Then I will stop being so philosophical. Yes? Good. Yuvatinam yata yuni yunam cha yuvato yata manobi ramate tatvan manome ramatam tvayi. The devotee sees that he tries to control his mind by force, but the mind does not react to force any longer. Because often we find what you suppress, you know, that somehow presses you and begins to move upwards. You know, when you when you have a crazy little brother and you try to put him in the cellar and lock the door, he will come out when you invited your friends, you know, whom you wanted to give you a promotion to the university because you come from a very good family, you know, want to say this. So when you put parts of yourself in the cellar of your subconscious mind and you press, at one time it explodes into your face, and at the most inopportune time. In ISKCON we call this a scandal. What it really is an attempt to bring something that is there away from the public view, but boom, it comes out. So here the devotees wants that a natural attraction comes, not a suppression. He says, "Oh my Lord, may my mind always find pleasure in you." In the same natural way as the mind of a young girl finds pleasure when she thinks of a young boy. No, it's young ladies, I've talked to a few of you. You want to marry, and because you feel then is a better situation, which is in many cases very true. No, but it is natural. It is something that comes. And may my mind always find pleasure in you, like the mind of a young boy finds pleasure in the thoughts of a young girl. It should be natural. This is, but this only possible, my dear Lord, if you help me. Because at the present moment, two opposing forces tear at my heart. My soul wants to become closer to God. I want to cry. I want to lead kirtan like Bhadrahari and Radhika Ranjan with full absorption. There are demands of the flesh. They used to say in old times, for material pleasure. My dear devotees, I think the first step is to become aware of the split situation, to no longer try to cover it up before yourself and lie to yourself, but to see it as it is, and then you look for a solution of it. The solution which Jiva Goswami offers is quite interesting. It's falling in love. This is the bhakti way. Or if you want to hear it in the Vaidhi way formulation, by experiencing a higher taste, one can give up the lower taste. No? There is a very interesting verse. It's in the Gopal Champu Purva 1, that means the first part, verse 81. When I read the Gopal Champu is a secret tip amongst those who want to hear about Krishna. It's really very elaborate descriptions of Krishna's pastimes with a lot of color, emotions, and so on. And there is a prayer by Jiva Goswami. When I first read it, I immediately thought, I want to remember this prayer. But then I forgot it, and I forgot also where I read it. So for 3 years, I was always looking in the Gopal Champu. Where was this? It's a big book, you know. And then just recently, I found it even in the Sanskrit. Can I read it to you? Hari Gopakshonipati Mitunam Chanyet Chatavat Avapaikam Tatat Abhimatam Nandayan Svam Janam Sa. He says, neither Lord Hari himself nor the king of the people of Braj, Nanda, could melt my heart. Even his faithful wife Yashoda and the other inhabitants of Braj could not melt my heart. It remained as cruel and cold as ever. But lo and behold, aho, aho, wow! It's something like wow, we would say, but wow! As soon as I began to contemplate the way the inhabitants of Braj love Hari in such a loving way, when I thought of their love to Krishna and how he reciprocates, I felt my icy heart started to melt in the fire of their love. It is known that the residents of Vrindavan love Krishna in a very uncomplicated and direct way. And hearing about this will attract a devotee and so that he understands that there is real love. And it's so joyful, it's so wonderful. I recently heard a pastime of Krishna which I liked very much. Can I tell it? It's like this. Krishna walks through the forest of Vrindavan and sometimes he turns away from his cowherd boyfriends and he is highly, highly upset. So Subal, who knows the mind of his friend, comes to Krishna and wants to give him relief. Isn't it sometimes when you walk, this is a human experience, and you see, you walk with your friends and one person doesn't talk, he looks morose, he doesn't answer, then you know something is troubling him, and then you fall back and just have a talk with him alone, and is there something troubling your heart? I am here. So Subal also sees Krishna is, there's something moving his mind, and he says, I'm here, Subal. I know many things. Who says Krishna? Who wants to test him? Do you know how many grasses there are in Vrindavan? Yes, there are 7,671 different grasses. And Subal is right. There are many, many grasses, many kinds of grasses. Long grasses, middle short grasses, very short grasses, pricky grasses, soft grasses. Because they are there to satisfy who? Krishna's cows, yes, and the land of Vrindavan satisfies Krishna and Krishna's dear devotees. So Krishna is pleased, and then Subal lets it out. And I also know where the goddess of Vrindavan is hiding. Looks at Subal, because Subal, by his love for him, has read his mind. Krishna was distraught because he wanted to be in the company of Srimati Radharani. So I will abbreviate the pastime. Subal then leads Krishna to the Yamuna, and Krishna finds Srimati Radharani there, and he wants to be alone with Radharani, therefore he says to the other gopis, your in-laws are there at Govardhan and they told me they need you desperately. I will bring Radharani home on my own. And they wander through the forest of Vrindavan. We don't have so much time, but I want to come to the main point. These are called Nikunya gullies. They are like little pathways or streets, you can say, but narrow streets. In German we say Gassen, Waldgassen. Can't tell you in English what it is, but and they walk and they very much enjoy, and because these little pathways, they are like labyrinths, Krishna said, wouldn't it be nice to play hide and seek? Loop, loop. And Radharani looks at him with so much love. She knows that Krishna wants to be alone, and therefore hide and seek. And Krishna then suggests, well, what we can do is, I will hide, and then you have to find me, Radharani. And Radha then says, it's always has been that way, that we have to find you. This is a little bit ordinary game. I will hide myself in such a way that you will never find me. Oh no, says Krishna, it will be very easy for me to find you. And it's true, once Radharani was hiding in golden lotus flowers, so that Krishna would not recognize her golden lotus face. Can you? Because it looks like a lotus flower also, especially when Radha looks like this. But Radha had forgotten that her breath is as sweet as honey. And when the breath came out, all the honeybees could smell. And they came down to her, enjoying the fresh honey of her sweet breath. And Krishna knew by the line of the bees, there's Radha, and found her. So Krishna said very confidently, it will be very easy to find. So Radha hid, and Krishna, full of eagerness to find Radha, went everywhere in the forest of Vrindavan. He went to the Yamuna, he went to Kandiravan, he went to Bahulavan, Lohavan, every place, but he couldn't find Radha. And out of love, he grew more and more eager and also desperate. Finally, on one of these paths, he sees the most beautiful cowherd boy coming towards him. And Krishna, by now, has lost his mind. He says, can you teach me where I can find Radha? And the cowherd boy looks very effulgent, beautifully dressed. He says, Radha is very difficult to find. Krishna very can agree to this. She hides in the waves of the Yamuna. She hides in the fragrance of the flowers of Vrindavan. She hides in every grass. And she is now standing before you in the dress of a cowherd boy. And Krishna immediately, wow, this is my Radha. Krishna is so pleased with the ways of love, no? The separation first, great separation, then a wonderful, a surprising rasa, it must be amazing and surprising, a union with Radha. So Jiva Goswami says, my heart can never melt, but when I hear how your devotees love you and how you are so happy to receive their love, then even my icy heart starts to melt in the fire of their love. We are going in a certain direction, my dear devotees. I want to now bring to you your attention something which we can call remembering Krishna and remembering Krishna's devotees and their loving interactions. You must know there is one important sadhana, a principle in sadhana. You have understood this principle when you do exercises. You have understood this principle when you are eating. But ask yourself, when you hear what is that principle on which sadhana rests, if you have understood it in terms of your spiritual practice. This most important principle, the driving force or heart of any sadhana is yata yatopase tat eva bhavanti. This is from the Upanishads. One becomes what he meditates upon. When I was a young boy, I had a free pass to all the theaters of Hamburg. I could go for free. And I used to go to the Thalia Theater, where Goethe's play Faust was placed. Faust? Dr. Faust? How do we say it? In Dr. Faust, you know. And there was one actor, his name was Gustav Gründgens, German name. He played the Mephistopheles. Do you know what is the Mephistopheles? Devil. You call him Lucifer. So he was playing him so good that if you saw him, you
My God, let's get out of a theater. This is the devil incarnate on the stage. He was so good from morning till evening. He thought about this to perfect this role. And finally, my dear devotees, finally, there was a newspaper article that once his wife grew up in the midst of the night because her husband, Gustav Gründgens, was going like, to her. Because what one practices, that is what one becomes. Those of my generation know Bela Lugosi. Bela Lugosi used to play Dracula. And he was in his private life also a second Dracula. Because what you become, that is what you become. What you practice or meditate on, that is what you become. Narottam Das Thakur takes this Upanishadic principle and relates this in terms of bhakti. He applies it to bhakti. He says, I try to say it like a Bengali, sadhana bhavijo joho. Devadama. Correct? No, not 100%. I can see he's laughing about me. It's not good. So I try to speak it like a German. Sadhana babibo yaha sita dehe pabu taha. Listen now. Humor is over. Sincerity is requested. Whatever I aspire and contemplate during the practice of devotional service will certainly be achieved upon perfection in a spiritual body. It's only a consideration of immaturity and maturity. And the example is given of a mango. So let us first get into this. Whatever I practice now is, in simple words, what I become later in my perfection. So if I practice chanting absent-minded rounds, if I practice compromised Krishna consciousness, if I practice mindlessness in thinking, in doing, in talking, and so on, I will become that. Some people have criticized the movement. My God, with your absence, you have such high quotas. The devotees can only chant hastily. They will become mentally hasty. And yes, it can be observed that some are mentally hasty, but they were before that also mentally hasty. What you practice is what you become later. When I do 5 push-ups, I will be with trembling muscles. It's so difficult for me. After some time, I will do 5. If I set my mind on increasing the quota, it will be easy to do 10. If I want and do it regularly and steadily, I will be able to do perhaps 50. I don't know, I've not yet tried, nor is it my goal to do 50 and so on. So consider the mango. The mango has an immature state, it's green, but if it stays on the tree, if it continues to receive the water which the roots of the tree pull out of the earth, and if it continues to get the sunshine, the green mango will turn into a fully mature yellowish green, blue monkey, not monkey, mango, 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 mango. So in the same way, my dear devotees, if you continue in your life to be nourished in a spiritual way, and what that means we will also hear, then you will become mature in your eternal spiritual body and go to Krishna and associate with Krishna, play with Krishna, laugh with Krishna, eat with Krishna, sleep next to Krishna. All this will come, but you need to practice somewhere. There are many Shastic examples of what you become when you meditate about something. It's in the seventh canto. We are just now studying the seventh canto in our Bhagavatam course. We hear of the weak insect that is captured by a stronger insect and is locked up in a hole. You know, the stronger insect comes and pulls it into this hole, and then through his saliva and some earth locks up the hole to later come and eat it. So the weak insect, the imprisoned insect, is so much thinking about his inevitable captor who will come, that he turns even in this body into a wasp, this strong insect. This law, my dear devotees, I'm almost finished, has recently been rediscovered by modern scientists who studied the workings of the brain. These people are called, I have to read this word, neurophysiologists. We have some of their amazing findings in the new book. They have confirmed that by regular mental engagement with a certain object, the structure of the brain starts to change and new networks are created. These are called neuron networks. They have said a very simple sentence for this. Neurons that fire together are engaged, in other words, they wire, they together, they build connections with each other. So the practice of sadhana in spiritual life, my dear devotees, in Krishna consciousness, is necessary. You need to regularly do the same things. And if you want to attain a higher state of consciousness, you can't allow yourself to do it mindlessness. You must do it mindfully. And in this way, through the practice of praying with full attention, chanting with full attention, you can actually create a mind that always thinks of Krishna and never ever forgets Krishna. I want to do now a meditation with you. A wonderful image of Krishna. Yes, we have here a painter who can paint an image of Krishna in 2 minutes. This, he did it like this. It's sometimes a little scary, isn't it? But let us, artificial intelligence. But let us now focus on the beautiful picture. Do you like the picture?
Yes.
What do you see in the picture?
Smile.
Compassion. You see in the eyes a compassion? He looks out of the picture, it seems. To learn to, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna twice tells us the principles of bhakti. There are 4 things a bhakta must do. Anyone remembers? Manmana bhavamat bhakto. What does this mean? Man means mana, the mind should think of me. This is the first principle. In bhakti, this is the first principle. Then the second is bhava mat bhakto, get in the bhava, the mood of my devotee, and serve me, in other words. Worship me and offer your obeisances to me. In this way, Krishna says, when this matures, you will certainly come to me in a perfected spiritual body. He just says you will come to me. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is telling us what it means to think of Krishna. And I thought we will do this and then we will end with a prayer of Kunti Devi. But I wanted to first give this context. This is very, very nice. Give your mind as a gift to me, Syam Sundara, with a face like the moon, with shining locks. Please look at the picture. It is here, with a face like the moon, with shining locks of hair and beautiful eyebrows, raining nectar in the form of glances of sweet mercy on the devotees. It's my favorite Krishna meditation, no? Because it's so doable. You think, we will do this now. We will sing something. My dear devotees, please look at the beautiful image. We see Krishna's face there. You all have seen the moon at nights when you were up. You've seen the full moon and you have become pacified seeing the full moon. So Krishna has a face like that moon. We are not yet meditating, we are just looking at the picture. He has shining locks of hair. Even our collective artificial intelligence can't create that, although it was repeatedly asked to do it. But Krishna is more beautiful. He has beautiful eyebrows, yes, and he's raining nectar in the form of glances of sweet mercy on the devotees. So close your eyes now and do your kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. On the first level of chanting, many of us just relax into the holy name and don't start to think, don't think until the mind comes back. There's so many distractions, but first the reaction is, oh, chanting, let me fall into the chanting. It's good. But from there we need to move on to the second level so that our mind can't go to the place it usually goes, unwillingness or whatever. So think of Krishna's face. It's brilliant. It's framed by beautiful shining blocks actually. And then don't avoid his glance, but look at him and you will see his eyes are full of mercy.
chant like this prayerfully.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
One more time, please, all of us.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna.
Have you sometimes experienced the phenomena that when you chant for a long time, that in the night the mantra goes on?
Yes.
Have you?
Yes.
Can I have a show of hand? I might test you, so an honest hand, show of hand. Yes. What is that phenomena? This phenomena is, by the chanting,
your heart has become purified, and you may not go now through the various dreams which you have, which are often reflecting your experiences during the day, but you are actually reflecting the holy name. And chanting is good when it comes to this ajapa japa, no? That is the japa which, or the chanting which you don't willfully will, but it goes on. And it's only possible by the pure heart. So in the same way, my dear devotees, this is a general rule. An impure heart, or let us say an agitated heart, agitated by material impressions, will think agitated thoughts or material thoughts, but a pure or purified heart will think pure thoughts. It's a rule, it's a principle. Jiva Goswami describes this principle, and we have made a slide of this principle, but it's almost difficult to get to say goodbye to this Krishna. So yes, Krishna is still there in the background. Is it this, Krishna? I can't see it. Yeah. Jiva Goswami says, maybe for a moment we can just take this away, the slide, because you might look at the slide so much and not... he says, one's heart becomes pure by three things. He says three ways to purify the heart. This is important for those who want to actually think of Krishna or reprogram their system, you know, to have a Krishna conscious system. So the first thing is surrender. This means when you are asked to do something that may be out of your immediate intention, what you wanted to do. My dear devotees, this is so important. We older devotees, older means in age, we know in the old times, you would always be asked to surrender because our movement was in the building phase. And I do know that our Keshava Maharaj, I'm so impressed by this, he goes every Christmas marathon out and joins the Sankirtan devotees. And I can believe it, the temperature is hot, not cold in England, icy winds. The food must be different from what you get as a Swami when you visit a temple. Isn't it? And the people may not be so enthusiastically listening to you, to your to the approach, take this book please, you know, as devotees would do. But by this, I want to move now away from Keshava Maharaj, whom I respect so much that I can't continue with this example. But by surrendering, my dear devotees, doing something which you may not ordinarily do. Maybe Keshava Maharaj likes to go on Sankirtan, but I'm giving, for me, the Sankirtan was the greatest surrender I ever did in this life. The cold. And the most important, the coldness in the heart of the people. Oh. During many days you would find me in the local churches sleeping in the church benches because it was just too much, you know, praying to, and then I would zoom out again and try, of course, yes. So, yes, so the heart becomes pure by surrender. When you are asked to do something which makes, it should make sense also, you know, and you didn't really intend to do it, but you surrender. My dear devotees, we are all now, most of us are congregational devotees, so there will be not so much opportunity perhaps. But also you can surrender to chanting a certain quota of rounds which you have given yourself. Even when you come late at home, or you can surrender by. You want to eat, you're hungry, but you have heard those who eat unoffered food and so on and so forth. So you can surrender to, okay, I offer it and I offer it nice. I say all the prayers, ring the bell and so on. There are ways to surrender everywhere. The next thing which purifies your heart is serving the devotees, and Jiva Goswami specifies it, who embody truth. They're truthful devotees, no? They are slightly advanced and they live this spiritual thing, that is also purifying you. And the last is what we are very expert in our movement, by hearing and singing about the names, the forms, the qualities and pastimes of the Lord. After one's heart has become pure in this way, one can perform smaranam or remembrance of the Lord. Let us have this again on the screen. Here you have it, and you might like to make a snapshot after this lecture of this. So I will read it again. One's heart becomes pure by surrender, service to devotees who embody truth, and hearing and singing the names, forms, attributes, and pastimes of the Lord. After one's heart has become pure in this way, one can perform smaranam or remembrance of the Lord. Very practical, no? So purify your heart, and at the same time, enter the world, the universe of Krishna consciousness, of being conscious of Krishna, by remembering Krishna in ways that are suitable for you. I want to now end this session by again going to the prayer. What was our lecture called? It's the divided soul, yes. There is a prayer by Queen Kunti who prays that this divided soul phenomena stops. Tvayi menanya vishaya matir madhu pate sakrit ratim mudvahatatada gange vogam udanvati. This is the melody of Prabhupada. I'm almost there. Please repeat after me. Sing after me. Tvayi menanya vishaya. Menanya vishaya. Matir madhu pate sakrit. Matir madhu pate sakrit. Ratim udvahatat ada. Udvahatat ada. Gange vogam udanvati. O Lord of Madhu. Madhu. As the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn to the pizza. Sorry, I was thinking of my next meal again. So this is not a good example. Lecturer, be serious now. O Lord of Madhu, as the Ganges forever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone and anything else. My dear devotees, the Ganga carries its water to the ocean, which is the final abode of all the small and the big rivers. Constantly it carries the water. And if there's a hindrance, the Ganga sweeps away all the obstacles on her path. So in the same way, Queen Kunti prays, may my mind Pay no heed to the obstacles that arise when thinking of you. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti's take on this verse. He says, as the Ganga always carries its water to the ocean, the final abode of all small and large rivers, so may my mind attain you, the abode of all devotees. May my mind always be full of attachment to you. And as the Ganga sweeps all obstacles on her path, so may my mind pay no heed to the obstacles that arise when thinking of you. Hare Krishna. So you could see that our prayer session had this had a heart. We did not only hear the prayers, we wanted to find out the heart that drives the prayers. And this heart that drives the prayers is really when the mental functions of the conditioned souls are drawn into the heart, and the devotee prays really from there. And one of the prayers addresses our greatest problem in this material world, in this material existence, our divided mind, which seems to have different interests. We pray to Krishna for help. Please, my Lord, let my mind be drawn unto you. Alone I can't do it. My mind is so restless, and it also carries so many impressions, not only from this life, it carries the impressions from previous lives as well. No? Therefore, my mind sometimes goes where I don't want it to go. My Lord, I know if I would put a loudspeaker on my mind and let all the devotees hear each thought, I would be as red as this carrot beetroot juice in my face. Hare Krishna. So, I have come to the end of this presentation. I thank you very much for listening attentively. I also want to say an excuse. In the attempt to make my talks relevant and to catch the attention of my audience, I may sometimes overdo in my examples. And they may not be pleasing to hear. Please excuse me. It is just a pedagogic means of a poor soul who was born in North Germany, where they talk like this. Hare Krishna. Good. Are there any questions which you would like to ask at this particular moment in time? I will give not a North German answer. I will give a good answer. The first person I saw was you, our philosophical Mataji.
Thank you very much for speaking about the divided mind. And the verse that you had mentioned now from Queen Kunti about the Ganges flowing to the sea. Whenever I hear of it, it just seems so effortless that the Ganges naturally flows to the sea. And often as a young person, I do feel there are so many divisions. The heart, it yearns to fully surrender unto Krishna, but I feel so divided.
Yeah.
That even the three factors, service, surrender, hearing and chanting, although I may be engaging in it, but the division is still there. So if I may dare to ask, as a young devotee, should I think that maybe when I mature and I get older, will that sanity come to be more focused and only see Krishna as the ultimate goal?
Thank you very much. May I ask you how many hours you look at Netflix? And also, this is not German. Let me not go there. No, why do you laugh? This is a very serious subject. Why does the mind go where it goes? It is due to sanskaras. therefore, Kundi's example is very good. The flow of your mind creates a certain riverbed. It digs that into the earth. It carves it into the earth. So when more water comes, it will follow the riverbed that is carved into the earth. In other words, when more your thinking activities, what you do, creates certain samskaras. They are called impressions. They are as if you imagine the mind like a piece of wax. That's Madhusudan's Sarasvati's example, and you now put an imprint in it. Yeah, let us say the imprint of these cartels. There's a name on this cartel, and if I take this into this wax, take the cartel away, there will be an imprint, and I will see the name vice versa, and you know, turned around. Our minds always collects impressions, and these impressions, especially if they have to do with intense feelings, when there are intense feelings, do create a certain impression in our mind. Now, if thoughts come, you will see that they will choose the path of the earlier created impressions that flow in this way. Therefore, for a devotee, it is very important to practice sat-achar, that is activity that brings him to the sat, the eternal world. And he must be a little bit careful what he allows into the mind. What talks he has, what he sees, what books he reads, you know, all these things. He must be a little bit careful understanding this. When you allow your mind to see especially these heavy things, you know, I don't want to give examples here, it's not a North German answer, then they will imprint. Or you are an intellectual and you have to study things, and I think you do very well as far as I heard, but you must be careful. Now your mind is so much active in this flow, you know, which you have created. You must create a new flow, a new riverbed, really. And I can only say, my dear devotees, find out spiritual literature that fascinates you, that puts something in, do devotional activities that bring joy to your heart, because then you will create deeper impressions in the heart. If you do it out of duty only, it won't create deep impressions in the heart. Some things we have to do out of duty. Many things we have to do out of duty, but bhakti can only be assessed really by attachment, some deeper feeling. No, of course someone can be very invested in duty for you. You get my point. Real bhakti, because it is spiritual, is in relationship to Krishna, the loving Lord. You will have to find something that is natural for you, that is interesting, and if you keep searching, you will find something. As what I also have seen in my life is, I know some very good speakers who inspire me, and they have content out on internet, and when I hear them lectures about Krishna consciousness, when I hear them, I'm spellbound. But I know speakers who totally bore me to the core. I also know, I've studied them very carefully before I made this thing. And I will not have the same reaction It will not work so much. These speakers are good, but I'm in a certain way that I can relate more to one. No? So you have to, but it's a very good question. Yes. You know, I made experiments before I go to bed. I read something violent, and my dreams were one way, and then I read a prayer, and my dreams were another way. Because the other mind is like this, when you create something. You know, Mahabharata violence, they really chop off arms, and it's described, and wow, you know. I think he was Burishrava, and someone cut out his arm, and oh. And if you see the beetroot juice in your dreams, you know. Hare Krishna. So we must be careful for this. My dear devotees, it's 6 o'clock, and it is my private joy to end on time, because this is extraordinary for me, new experience, very interesting. So I will end here. Also, we will have our concluding evening punctually at 7:30. Am I correct? 7:30. Please be all here. I thank you very much. And if you take only one little point from here and apply it in your life, my lecturing will be successful. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol.